نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في قرآنه المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي الفالف مرة اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Millions of times over, we are grateful to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in this life of ours, lifetime, has with regards to His remembrance, His dhikr, in this blessed night, has given us another additional gathering majlis. And after this majlis ends, when it concludes, in the heavens it's announced that those who came to this gathering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you. This all, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah ta'ala's fadl, His grace, His mercy, His karam, all of this is due to that. That a person like me who is not capable, such a great reward Allah Ta'ala has given and is giving. May Allah Ta'ala to us this ni'mah, this gift, this favor, may Allah give us the ability to appreciate it, to value it. That these gatherings, these majalis, these assemblies, what is the status that Allah Ta'ala, how does He look at this? What is the status in the eyes of Allah? That it's not something we can understand in reality. Because it will be the plane of resurrection. It will be the day of Qiyamah, judgment. It will be the court of Allah. And that day we will see the value of these gatherings. That how valuable these gatherings were to Allah. Today we're just going with the fadl of Allah, Allah's karam, His grace. We attend, but it's a massive blessing of Allah, a massive blessing of Allah. Then this era of negligence and laziness and ignorance, Allah is saving us from ignorance. Allah is giving us the ability, the tawfiq, to remember Him, to do His dhikr, with regards to which Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that this amal, this action, in other words, dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah, is the best of all actions. The best of actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, look at the status Allah has given to insan, human being. Look at his condition, his situation. All creation belongs to Allah. All creation. Allah has created everything. Allah is not just the creator. Rather, Allah is their Rabb, He is their Lord. He is their owner. He brings them up. He looks after them. He creates creation. And after creating the creation, Allah didn't just leave the creation to somebody else's disposal. No, Allah has taken responsibility. Allah says, I'm responsible. Even the minutest, smallest creature we can't see, even if it's a germ, Allah gives the food to the germ. Allah has given the full resources, eat and drink, anything that it needs, Allah Ta'ala delivers to it. That, here, take it, wherever it is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all His makhluk, His creation, everything is linked and connected to Allah, and Allah is aware of it. All makhluk, wherever and whatever it is, everyone is connected to Allah, everything. We don't even know how many alameen there are, how many worlds there are, how many creatures there are. But Allah, He has got a connection with each and every form of creation, wherever it is. And it's not just that Allah is connected to them, rather they are also connected to Allah, say subhanAllah. Why? It's not just that Allah is aware of them. they're connected to Allah. All the creation that Allah has made that we don't even know. The trees, the birds, the creatures, the animals. Everything is connected to Allah because Allah looks after the creatures. And how are they connected to Allah? What is that connection? That they also do not forget their Rabb, their Lord, their Creator, subhanAllah. The tree will never forget Allah. The leaf will never forget Allah. The oceans, the seas will never forget Allah. No creature, nothing that exists in this universe that Allah has made, everything is connected to Allah, has a link. So Allah is linked to them, and they are also linked to Allah. They also remember Allah. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَةِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah says that everything remembers me. Everything. So what has happened is that Allah, Rabb, the Creator, is connected to His creation, and the creation, the creatures, are connected to Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala gave the term Ashraf al-Makhluq to a certain form of creation. Ashraf, superior. Who is that? Respected human being. Me and you. Yes? The highest form of creation. Superior form of creation. And look at the achievement here. There are some unique points that I'm trying to share with you. These are things that we need to think about. That what is this makhluk, human being? First, I've explained to you the different creatures. And what is the second phase I'm coming to the discussion? Ashraf. Ashraf means that all the creation and the creatures that Allah has manufactured, all the animals that are in the mountains, you know, there are even fish in the mountains. The most of all, Ashraf, superior, is which creation? Insan, the human being. Yes? And what's its situation, human being? So, when everything is connected to Allah, and all creatures are connected to Allah, then will this creature, human being, not be connected to Allah? If Allah has promised to all other creatures that I'll give you food and provisions, has Allah not promised human being? If Allah will give to an ant, will He not give to Ashraf? But Ashraf is such a waste of time person, he doesn't have yaqeen in Allah's promise that I will give rizq. Will Allah give me rizq? Will He give me food? Will He give drink? When it's in the morning, we're worried about the evening. I don't know if I'm going to get bread or not. Oh, let's do this, let's do that. Let's leave salah, let's do this. So much concern, worried we are about our own food and drink and our lives. We're not worried about anything else. But we are Ashraf. And all these other creatures laugh at us. Now what sort of monkeys and apes are these people? Wild people. That we are minor and this human being's Ashraf. And look what he's doing on the earth. The other creatures laugh at us. So situation, all makhluk, creation, Allah is connected to them. And the creation and the creatures are connected to Allah. And Ashraf, the human being, Allah is connected and linked to the human being. Obviously Allah is connected to us because He's our Rabb. Yes? So Allah is connected and linked to the Ashraf, the human. But the human being, Ashraf, is not connected to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Look at the conclusion. Ajeeb. Weird. In other words, human being, if Allah is connected to the human being, linked to the human being, but the human being is not linked and connected to Allah. If Allah is connected to an ant, and the ant is connected to Allah, linked to Allah. A fly, Allah is aware of the fly, and the fly is aware of Allah, and it does dhikr of Allah. A very small animal, let's take a mosquito flying in the air, a mosquito, do you understand what I'm saying? Allah is connected to the mosquito. And the mosquito is connected and linked to Allah. And we, human beings, Allahu Akbar. We, human beings, we don't have any connection with Allah. We have no link. Forget the link. We in opposition create gods, prostration to rocks, stones. That is the creation of Allah. And we say it's our God. Yes, the snake, which is the creation of Allah, we say this is our God. Yes, and we are what? Ashraf, superior form of creation. Imagine. So a person's worshipping rocks and leaves and animals and cows as God. Weird. Is it not surprising? Shocking? So there are two connections. One is that human being. One is that human being who doesn't have a connection with Allah. And despite the fact that Allah is connected to that human being, Allah has also given a rizq to that human being. Allah has also promised to that human being. Allah says to that human being, don't worry about rizq, food and drink and provisions. Rather, Allah is unhappy. And unhappy with that human being. If a person doesn't believe in Allah, a human being, If you give food to that human being, Allah will be unhappy. Why are you giving that person food? He's my makhluk. Why don't you feed him if you don't give food? That you've heard that event of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. That Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said to a person who had no iman, that, oh, I'm not going to give you food. You don't believe in Allah. Recite the kalama, then I'll give you food. He said, no, I'm not going to recite the kalama. I'm going. I don't believe. Then Allah Ta'ala sent Wahi Ibrahim. So many years I fed him, and once on one occasion you couldn't give food to him. Bring him back and give him the food. Bring him back and give him the food. So what we learn is that whether you believe in Allah or not, a human being, but Allah even then is his creator and Rabb and Lord and provider. Imagine. Imagine. So insan, human being, has a link with Allah, but he doesn't believe in Allah. Allah is aware of him, connected to him. But there's one insan, human being from all of those, who believes in Allah, who is aware of Allah, accepts Allah. He believes in Allah, subhanAllah. And he says, Allah, you are my Rabb, you are my Lord, my Creator. He believes, he accepts. Now, that connection is then unique with Allah. It's very different and unique compared to that human being who doesn't believe. There's still a connection Allah has with that person, because Allah gives everything to that person. But the person who believes in Allah, then suddenly there's a difference, elevation in that connection between Allah and His creation who believes in Allah. Allah's favors will be different. His grace will be different. Allah will give different to that person. Allah's promise will be different. And the preparation in the hereafter for that person will be different. Why? Because he's believed in Allah. He's believed in Allah, he's my Rabb, and he's recognized his Lord. So what happens? So Allah is connected to that person, just as I said before, but he also, that human being, has a connection with Allah, a link with Allah. He believes in Allah, and he accepts Allah. So this is also a connection. And then there's another connection, a separate one between the human being and Allah. Another one. We have been created to strengthen our bond with Allah. That's our one objective. Remember this, to create a bond and relationship with Allah. That's it. Yes, yeah, so that human being, he's recognized his Lord, he's believed. But the third type of person, the third category, who is he? What is that person? He believes in Allah and he also listens to Allah. He believes in Allah and he listens to Allah. He believes in Allah, accepts Allah, and he listens to Allah. So he believes, he accepts in all Allah's ahkams, orders, he obeys them, and he then becomes totally unique, that person. That person is totally unique. Totally unique. He doesn't just believe in Allah. He doesn't just accept Allah. Rather, on top of that, Allah's ahkams, laws, he accepts them. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has ordered, stated, he accepts. Openly. He is firm on that path. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has said, he says, yes, this is correct. End of story. My Rabb said this. That's the third category. And this is that category of connection with Allah, the highest grade daraja, about which Allah Ta'ala says that this person's connection with me is very strong indeed. It's become so strong and firm that between me and him now is the connection of love, Allah Ta'ala says. Love, muhabbat. Subhanallah. Yuhibbun Allah. Allah says, he will love me and I will love him. This is the perfect human being. He's made the strong connection and he's fulfilled the responsibility, the objective I gave to him, Allah Ta'ala says. So my brothers, what a beautiful point. This is our objective. Yes, that we believe in Allah, and on top of that, in addition to that, we listen to Allah. If Allah says haram, it's haram. Whatever happens, you are firm on that. Yes, if Allah Ta'ala if Allah Ta'ala orders, then we fulfill and obey that order. End of story. We don't turn back. No U-turn. No question mark. Whatever order is coming. What an example Allah Ta'ala has given about his Nabi, his Prophet. How did Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam give the sacrifice for his son? The father, he's thinking, I will say to my son that I saw a dream. In the dream I saw that I'm sacrificing you. But the son went ahead. He said, quickly, father, complete this dream. Fulfill it. Why are you hesitating? Allah's given the examples in the Quran. So this is the third category of muhabbat. That when Allah's ahkams come, orders come, you don't think, the human business thing, shall I do it, not do it, is it necessary, not necessary, shall I practice on this, not practice on this, will it happen here, won't happen there, will this happen, will that not happen? No, the order has come, Allah Ta'ala's order has come, and we just accept that openly, wherever it is and whatever it is. And then the difficulties to come, the tests, the challenges, the barriers, whatever conditions around the person, he does sabr and he's patient throughout his life. But he doesn't break the order of Allah. On this state, Allah Ta'ala says, he loves me and I love this person. And his daraja, his state is very high and he's got the highest and strongest bond with Allah. Ashraf al-makhlukat, very high level of love he has and he's immersed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If only we can become human beings like this. May Allah make us human beings like this. Don't become the rotten aubergine. Wherever you go in the environment, you become like that. No, the real life that Allah has given to us, we are destroying it. Totally is going a waste of time, the life. Waste of time. But if this relationship with Allah is not made, like I've described, then all our eating, drinking time is going a waste of time. It's not uruj, high level human being, that in the world you get high status or immense material things and we consider that we are very high. No, no, these are things that will disappear, evaporate, and that make the real connection with Allah, between the human being and Allah. That's the objective. That you live in accordance with obedience to Allah. This is showing your gratefulness to Allah. This is being grateful to Allah. This is the highest grade of human being. Now, to arrive to this high level, to this level, because we have to attain this status. That's our objective. You don't just get it for nothing. Like, just Allah's given categories, levels, and whichever human being, those who don't believe in Allah, that can, don't they call themselves intellectual? In the world, have they not advanced and so-called progressed? It's all in front of us. In the dunya, we see that how much technologically or through knowledge they have so-called advanced in the world. But this is the test. This is the understanding. This is the reality we need to understand and consider. This is what the whole game is based upon. Because aql is a big thing. Aql, wisdom, brain, the amount is, there's shar in there and there's khair in there as well. The topic is going a little bit to the side. The aql, the brain power, that can give you goodness and it can give you shar as well. Bad, evil. A G point I'm making here. It's not necessary. The aql will give you just goodness. There's khair and shar. If there's shar, if there's evil or wrong, where the aql is used in the wrong way, what will it do? It will take you and rush you towards promotion and progression in the dunya. Because that's aql. The so-called aql. It will take you and rush you towards the ulum, the knowledge, the awareness of dunya and the world. But with regards to the akhirah, it will be zero. Zero. Why? Because shar will have overwhelmed the good in his aql, that person's aql. The shar, the wrong, will have overwhelmed, overtaken his goodness in his... So his aql is out of control. If this aql, brain, intellect, to control it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a beautiful preparation. Say subhanAllah. Yeah, just like the wild horse. You know the wild horse? Yeah? He's wandering around. It's a wild horse out there in the barren land, the jungle, jumping, swaying. To control it, you have to throw the rein, the leash. And then when you train it, that horse, that same horse will follow your guidance and instructions. Yes, even at that time is beneficial, and now it's beneficial. So aql has shar and khair. But if you do not control that shar, the wrong, the negative, then that aql will take you towards dunya. It will make you achieve big worldly achievement. You think, yeah, he's using his brain properly, he's achieving things in the world. But the real connection, which is the hereafter, he will be detached from that. He won't consider akhirah as anything. Just dunya, material, buildings, and progression in the world. How long? That one jolt comes then of an earthquake and everything disappears. So how long does the aql run for? You see no sign of that. When the flood comes, yes, the biggest buildings, where have they gone? When the flood comes, where's the advancement gone? Where's that progression gone? You understand? So this is the brain that takes you towards shar and the dunya. This is not the person who's intellectual or brainy or clever. Rather, the shar has overtaken his aql. So control, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala control the shar in the aql? To control the aql, Allah ta'ala has controlled aql with shariat, with his laws, with his principles. If you bring your aql into the boundary of sharia, then all of your akal will make you do actions of khair. But they don't have sharia. They have no principles. But the person who believes in Allah, when he comes within the boundary of sharia, when he introduces his brain to sharia, and says, do this, then Allah Ta'ala's law, sharia, when he's brought it into the boundary of sharia, then his akal will ask him, that does Allah sharia allow me to do this action? Sharia says, no, you can't do this. Then he'll stop straight away. Subhanallah. So shar, what he thought was advancement in the world, will have been transformed into khair, and it will take him towards the akhirah, and it will do actions that are always for everlasting khair. This topic came in between that, what is the akal and the shar and the khair in the akal. So anyway, going back to what I was saying before, insan the human being. So insan the human being, they are first grade one, level one, is the person who doesn't believe in Allah. Then there's a person who believes in Allah and believes and obeys Allah's orders. His connection with Allah is very different. So that this is the highest grade, highest level. This is most precious. And this is the highest grade in the hereafter as well. Now this daraja, this level, to arrive to this status, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that human being attain this highest level. What has Allah given to us to get to the highest level? Allah has given us different forms of ibadat, worship. Yes? For the human being to have the connection with Allah, that he believes in Allah and he obeys Allah's instructions, Allah has given us ibadat through which you physically implement that person starts to obey Allah. And the ibadah which is the greatest, which most of all creates a connection with Allah. Most of all. Yes? Which is Allah Ta'ala has revealed. Most of all, strongest connection with Allah. Through which ibadah? Through which worship? And that ibadah is what? That is salah, namaz, salah. Allah Ta'ala has given the ibadah of salah, namaz. This namaz with salah, so quickly, very quickly, a connection is made with Allah, and a very close connection, qurb, to that daraja, that he starts to obey Allah. He starts to obey Allah. This is the real salah. The real salah, the effect of a person who prays salah genuinely, a person who's a real regular in salah, who has a genuine salah, the effect of his salah is that he will never disobey Allah's orders. A genuine Muslim, a person who prays salah, genuine namazi, he will start to travel on the journey of obeying Allah's orders. Now, to get to that level, to realize and recognize your salah takes you to that Allah's given ibadah. Look at the sequence Allah's given to us. Yes, so Allah has given us the highest level of a human being. We need to get to that level. And the most valuable thing to get to that level is the worship of salah. And to make the salah such, through which you make such a strong connection with Allah, to make that salah, the ibadah Allah has given us, the amal Allah has given us to perfect our salah, is dhikrullah. So dhikrullah is the resource to perfect that salah. That's why we do dhikr. Allah Ta'ala has instructed us, ordered us to do dhikr for this very reason, that with dhikr in parallel with salah is a very deep connection, because salah, it strengthens the connection with Allah, which is our real objective, which is our genuine objective. So to make your salah get to that level, the help or assistance Allah has given us is remembrance, is his dhikr. Dhikr of Allah, the first effect of dhikr of Allah, remember this. Those who do dhikr, the real, the genuine student who's doing dhikr of Allah, the first effect, the sign of his salah, that is that when he does dhikr, is that his salah is affected first and foremost. His salah is improved. Yes, remember what I'm saying. So the person who does dhikr, the first effect is that he improves his salah. He takes his salah to that level, to the high grade that gives the qurb of Allah. That Allah says, you're going to sajda and you attain my qurb, my nearness. That is what dhikr achieves. So this is the level of salah that we should achieve. We pray salah, but we should understand the darajat of salah. One is that salah, you just bop up and down. You've prayed, you don't know where your thoughts are going, you've just prayed. You're talking, you're listening to something else, you're just praying. You don't know what's happening during that salah. But this is also a salah that will be accepted by Allah. It won't go to waste. This is a stage. It's the first stage or the low stage. But it's sad to say that this salah, we don't improve it. We don't strengthen it. We don't elevate it. We don't understand the essence of salah. We just think, oh, I closed my eyes, I prayed salah, whatever I remembered, I recited and I've gone. After praying salah, that emotion, that condition that Allah Ta'ala has defined, that we should have such a connection with Allah, that as soon as the servant human being goes into prostration, he's lost in Allah's magnificence and brilliance. No thinking of the dunya. Look, there's a hadith. That salah, prayer, in that Allah Ta'ala says, the half is for man, half is for me. Allah says, you pray and I respond to you. I respond to you. When you're praying, Allah says, you human being, is Allah not listening? Allah says, I'm with you, I'm replying to you at that time. The thana is for me, the praise is for me, this dua is for you, this is for me, this is for you. Allah says, I'm in discussion with you whilst you're praying. Allah says, I'm in discussion with you. And every action of salah, physical, this is the biggest ibadah, remember this. Biggest ibadah is salah. That's why Allah has given us 5 times to pray salah. Why? Because it's a beloved action and it makes that person the beloved servant of Allah. It creates the connection with Allah. And it brings the ishq into the person between the human being and Allah. Whoever becomes an ashik, a lover of Allah, whoever becomes a lover of Allah, mahbub, close to Allah, has not become through any other action. Remember this. No action makes you a beloved of Allah. Wahid is salah that introduces you to Allah. Salah. Every moment we should be looking at our condition, emotions and feelings during salah. That is there the focus in my salah. In my salah, am I feeling good? And in my salah, is Allah's rahmah, can I see Allah's mercy in my heart? Can I see the light in alongside when I'm praying salah? Yes, because there's nothing else apart from salah. No other effect that can give us a proper connection with Allah than wahid, one's ibadah that delivers a person to that level. That's salah. Every ibadah, with every worship, Allah's attached salah. Ramadan comes, you still have to pray salah. Hajj you go, you still have to pray salah. Is this not the case? Zakat, obviously you still have to pray salah. So salah, you cannot discard it. So it's not necessary for salah that you have to fast or go hajj. But namaz, salah is present every day in all other actions happening. Because without salah, you cannot attain Allah's link, connection. Salah, that's why you have to make effort to work hard all life long. When our salah progressively, gradually gets better, stronger, and our connection with Allah is made, because Allah says that's the quality of salah that takes you away from wrong and takes you towards good. So what kind of human being is it that he prays salah and he lies? What type of human being is that? That he prays salah and he's a full stop. What kind of human being is that? He prays salah and he's not content and satisfied with what Allah Ta'ala said. He's not happy on every order of Allah. He's not happy. How can he be a person praying salah? And he doesn't have yaqeen and guarantee, believe that Allah has guaranteed that I'll give you risk. And he's scared and he's afraid and he leaves the deen. Question doesn't arise, a person does that. Question doesn't arise, a person does that. The person who's namazi, praying salah, and he doesn't believe in these things, all the effects and the qualities that Allah Ta'ala has explained to his beloved servant, that this happens and this happens and that happens, all those qualities and effects are created, initiated by salah. Salah is a wahid one ibadah. So all our effort and focus of a mu'min, maximum should be on what? On salah, on namaz. If you see something lacking, wherever, akhlaqiyat, in your manners, in your conduct, and you have anger, envy, jealousy, hatred, malice, love of the dunya, greed, distress upon distress, and you're not fulfilling the rights of creation, then all of those, the reason is one, that your salah is not correct. Look at this. This is the essence. The conclusion of the whole deen is salah. If your salah, if our salah is improved and corrected and developed, alhamdulillah, then all these other matters will fall into line. So to correct our salah, to improve, Allah Ta'ala has prepared a beautiful solution that only through one action can your salah be elevated to the high grade when you remember me. Allah says, Dhikrullah, Allah has given the effect to Dhikrullah. The effect, the quality, that's the reason, brothers. That's why dhikr is done. Dhikr is not the objective. Dhikr is not the end point. Rather, you do dhikr to achieve the objective. In other words, dhikr is performed to attain the objective. Dhikr is not the objective itself. No. It's the resource. It's the method, it's the tool to get to the objective. That's why there's a difference. I'll tell you the right thing here. As and when, as a dhakir, a person who remembers Allah, the more he remembers Allah, loves Allah, and likes dhikr of Allah, then he will be more a better namazi, a better musalli. You'll see that in the salah, he'll have khushu. The more he'll have focus in salah, the more he will feel the love with Allah, and he will identify Allah's magnificence through salah. Not through dhikr, no. Through salah you will get it, but dhikr will assist you together. Hopefully you'll understand what I'm saying. Hopefully you understand. So our target is one. To create a connection with Allah, a link with Allah, to establish a link with Allah. We have no other objective life. Because Allah is our Rabb. Food, drink, He will give to us. He won't give more than what's destined, less than. So it's waste of time. A person, for example, Allah has given you a field through which you can earn, through which you are completing your requirements. If more comes, less comes. For example, a person, Allah says that you're a taxi driver. And in his destiny, he's a taxi driver. End of story. Now, through that taxi career, he'll get some more, he might earn less, he might earn more. All the requirements of life will be fulfilled and completed through that profession. Through that, if he can't go beyond that, he can't go less than that. All his progression, advancement will come through that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to the human being that all, as much as you require, Allah will give to you. If you even go to the moon, you can go to the sun. Khair, we are here. We've left our country to come here physically. But this is the amount you're going to get, Allah says. Not more than that. Yes, if more arrives, then remember this point. If more arrives, then it will be taken from you. And at such a time it will be taken from you, you won't even know. You won't even know. That money will be taken out of your pocket. Who you were given it for, it will be delivered to that person in forms of khairat, sadaqat, zakat. In some way or form, you'll have to give that money to somebody else. Yes, yes. That if you, for example, do not accept that, then that will not be good. But the money that you have at the end of the day, that will be left and remain with you. That was in your destiny. So on this point, what does salah teach us? Wasta'inu bis sabr. Wasta'inu bis sabr. Subhanallah. That the lesson of salah is sabr. Patience. What is sabr? To be satisfied in what Allah has given to you. That is sabr. That is sabr. What is sabr? Sabr. The definition of sabr. To be happy in what Allah Ta'ala has destined for you. Whatever is written in your taqdeer, destiny, aman of sadaqna, Allah accept, I'm happy with that. All distress will evaporate. If you're extremely sick, you get cancer. Yes, then become happy and content on Allah, what He has ordained. Allah, you wrote this in my destiny, I'm looking for the cure. If I'm cured, alhamdulillah. If I'm not, alhamdulillah. Then more than half of the distress of the patient evaporates and eliminates because he's happy with what Allah Ta'ala has ordained and destined. All of these feelings will come through what? Salah. Salah. Okay, so for salah, what is the amal that Allah has given to improve salah? The people who don't do dhikr of Allah, their salah can never be improved. I'm telling you this. Salah will be corrected, improved via dhikrullah. Not through discussion, not through speeches can you improve salah, not through any amal. Allah Ta'ala says, the action, the solution I've given to you, that will take effect and improve salah. If a person wants to improve his salah, correct his salah, then he has to adopt that path of dhikrun kathir. Dhikrun kathira. Not a little bit of dhikr here and there. What dhikr? Dhikr kathir, dhikr in abundance, high quantity. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that shall I not tell you such an action that in Allah Ta'ala's eyes is most pure and will give you the highest elevated status, and even if you spend gold, silver akin to a mountain, it will be more valuable than that. Even if you're clashing with a person and your sword breaks, but this action is greater than even that action. Allah Ta'ala, what is the action? Ya Rasulullah, what is the action? The Sahaba Akram, noble companions, says, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us. Rasulullah replied, Dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. The remembrance of Allah. How elevated Allah Ta'ala, how high Allah Ta'ala has taken the action of dhikr. Why? Because there's an effect, a cure, that when you do dhikr, then it creates love and a connection with Allah, for which Allah Ta'ala said, I've created the human being. The rest, Allah Ta'ala says, I didn't need all the other creatures to pray salah or to do dhikr. They, alhamdulillah, automatically are focused on Allah permanently. everything. In other words, Rabb, Allah is the Lord creator, they are focused on Allah. Allah has a connection with them, and they are connected to Allah permanently. But Wahid for us, Allah Ta'ala created this solution that human being is such, he will not maintain his relationship with me. So to maintain that relationship, Allah gave us salah, and to perfect the salah, Allah Ta'ala gave us dhikrullah. Understand what I'm saying? Okay. So dhikr is not the objective, it's not the end point. My brothers, just as Allah said in the Quran, do dhikr in that, well, it says morning and evening, do my dhikr, sit in my dhikr, and do dhikr kathir, in abundance. And if you are adhering to all of these points, then you will yourself feel the difference in your salah. All the magnificence of Allah, the connection with Allah, that should be between the human being that we want with Allah, then you will start to attain all of that through your salah, alhamdulillah. Just as Allah Ta'ala in His ibadah, in His worship, especially Allah has put special status to Allah. In the same way, all of the generations and the times and the time and the day and the time in our life, Allah has selected a time to create the connection with Him. Because we want to maintain the connection with Allah, establish it. Just like Salah elevates the status and connection with Allah, between a human being and Allah, Allah has also selected a special time, that from morning till evening and through the night, there's such a time, which is special, select, beloved time of Allah, that is. Special, beloved time of Allah. Of Allah's. That's also a fantastic thing. Brilliant thing. And even that you get through Salah. Remember this as well. That time Allah has given, but you will also get that via Salah. Because remember, keep Salah as the main action. But there's such a time Allah Ta'ala has given. All of the times, all of the moments, that is the most valuable time and moment, most beloved time for Allah. And the servant of Allah, if he uses that time, then he becomes the beloved servant of Allah. And the second point, if nobody in history has become beloved to Allah without utilizing that moment. In history, I'm saying, because there's Sufi Majlis, and you all are on this path, you are saliks, travelers, students. So I'm giving you this point, alhamdulillah. I'm giving you this point, that those who properly, alhamdulillah, want to travel on this path as a salik, as a student, they listen to this point and start to do amal on this point. Practice this point. These are tips that the pious predecessors have mentioned and I'm presenting in your service. These are tips, advices. So you understand salah is the main action of life. To correct salah, you understand the tariqah, that is the dhikr of Allah. Now I'm telling you that time, that moment, that hour, that period of time, that in that time, Allah says, you become my beloved servant. And Allah makes that person close to Him, beloved to Him. And any wali of Allah in history who never became a wali until and unless he didn't utilize that time period. So if we are not using that time period, then we are wasting our time. Never, never will we attain the love, the true love of Allah. Never will we attain it. Remember this. What is that time period? Moment? That Allah Ta'ala Himself has announced. Subhanallah. What is that time? In the night, the third part of the night. The last third of the night. Yes, the third part of the night. The third phase of the night. This is that time that close to Allah's most beloved time. If we compare to all the others, whether it's Ramadan, Hajj, normal days, different days, whatever day it is in the year, wherever you are, whatever is the climate, whatever month, in all these days and months, there's only one moment, one hour, one period of time that is most beloved to Allah. Whoever became wali of Allah became due to that period of time. Due to that period of time in the day. Nothing comes, benefits a person until that person doesn't wake up at that time. If he doesn't wake up at that time, if he wakes up at that time, the man or woman, woman or man, if they want to create and establish a connection with Allah, and they want to become a friend of Allah and become a wali of Allah, then select that time. And what is that time? In the hadith is stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this time, every day, Allah Ta'ala descends to the lowest of heavens, closest to the dunya, and Allah announces. What a brilliant statement. Allah announces. Is there anyone there? Ooh, Allah is calling out to His beloveds. Is there anyone who desires me? Yes, we all day long do sajda, talk, this and that. What is this drama? Come, your Rabb. If you say your beloved to Allah, I'm calling you. Come to me, Allah says. Rabb is calling. Himself is calling. Allah says, come. Is anyone there? And then Allah says, I won't just call you empty blank statement. First, I will promise to you what? That I will forgive you if this time anybody comes to me, I'll forgive you. This is the third part of the night. Whoever arrives to Allah, then Allah says, Labbaik, Allah, I'm present. Oh, my Rabb, I'm present. If he says that, Allah Ta'ala responds, I've forgiven you. Maghfirat. Then, do you want rizq? Do you want provisions in the dunya? Rizq is there for you. Allah Ta'ala gives rizq at that time. Wealth, money, if there's any distress, problem, calamity, issue, argument, difficulty, it is eliminated, gone away from you. Three rewards at that time announces all lifelong that person will get the rizq and to be saved from distress and to improve the hereafter, to have a life for the betterment of the hereafter. At that time, if anybody wakes up, woman or man or woman, how subhanAllah lucky and fortunate is that person, that all lifelong, if they have a habit of waking up at that time. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is, my colleagues, this is not just rotating the tasbih. You don't just rotate the tasbih and say, oh, I've got close to Allah and become wali Allah and I've done a bit of dhikr and Allah, taifs are running and I've wali Allah, open a khanka, I'm a wali Allah and I'll teach dhikr. My brothers, on this mujahada, effort. Today, we talk about the walis of Allah, the awli Allah, historically. Then we need to understand their pattern of life. This is what it was that I'm presenting to you. Never did they miss the hajjud. Yes. Whoever it was, everyone, the path that they prepared, what they attained was through effort, hard work, and to be awake in that last third part of the night, to be awake to cry and do sujood, and they attained their status. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time is very close indeed. The all insan batini, his internal, all his batini promotion, spiritual promotion, internal promotion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all his fadail and his blessings and mercies, all Allah ta'ala bestows at that time. This hadith in Tabarani. At that time, Allah ta'ala gives to the human being in the last third of the night. And at that time, if a person wakes up, the human being, and he hears Allah's call. Now here, Hazrat Sahib said, Quds Sirah, my Hazrat, my Sheikh, Hazrat Sahib said, I was 16, 17 years old, I was sitting with my father in the Khanka. Hazrat Sahib saying this. 1900 approximately, I'm talking about my Hazrat Sahib, it's not about today. Yes, and my Hazrat Sahib was father was a great Sheikh in the Chishti Sitz. I've told you this before. SubhanAllah. That Hazrat Sahib, his father was a great Sheikh himself. Hazan Saranpuri, Hazan Thanvi Sahib Ramdulai, Hazan Yahya Sahib, Hazan Gangoi Sahib Ramdulai, that his father, Hazrat Sahib's father, had their company. Yes, Dakkan Bhopal, he was a Sheikhul Hadith. 1900 prior to this, I'm talking about. 1900, Hazrat Sahib was present. So imagine how high grade Wali Allah, Chishti Silsila, Chishti Order, and he was Maraqib, Hazrat Sahib's father, and Hazrat Sahib said, I was also Maraqib. Hazrat Sahib has told this himself to me. He very seldom would he say this. He said, suddenly I heard my father calling out, Udaaz in Maraqba, Labbaik, Allah I'm present, Allah I'm present, Allah I'm present. Hazrat's father started to say this. Then Hazrat said, Ali Murtaza, did you hear what I'm responding to you? My son, that the call was coming, so I'm responding. So Allah hears. And the servant hears as well. So my brothers, those whose ears, if when the dirt comes out of the air and it becomes a spiritual ear, alhamdulillah, then they also hear the call of Allah, the announcement of Allah. This is how beloved Allah's announcement call comes to the ear. Allah calls, is there anyone there, any servant there? The ashikin say, Labbaik Allah, Labbaik, we are present. Please give. What a unique, beautiful time Allah Ta'ala has put aside the time of tahajjud. We call this the tahajjud time. This is from the tahajjud, we've given it the name tahajjud. Tahajjud is a salah. And the third part of the night,
the last third of the night,
that is that time. Yes, a person can't imagine amongst us is fard. Yes, the salik, the student, the Sufi, for him it is fard. Our Naqshbandi silsila, no salah do we do for nafil, just like the salik comes first. Yes, we don't give put big ibadah, do this, keep this many fasts. No, just no, the mashaykh, they don't give them nawafil. But just one salah, definitely, the shaykh said, two salahs, definitely. What is that? One is tahajjud, one is ishraq. In from the voluntary prayers. The spirituality we don't appreciate. For the Naqshbandi is essential. Just like for a Naqshbandi, the imamah, the blessed turban is essential. In the same way, these two salah are essential. Tahajjud and ishraq. Otherwise, he cannot enhance spiritually, improve spiritually. Some people ask, is this lazim, necessary? Yes, it is necessary. If you want to attain Allah's nearness, then these things are necessary. Those who don't want Allah's nearness, then they're not necessary for them. For them, there, it's not important for them to correct this salah. These salah are correct. They'll say, is this necessary as well? Is this necessary? We do dhikr of Allah. For them, nothing is necessary. Necessary is for that person who understands reality or is created to create a connection, relationship with Allah, to love Allah. And I want to get to that summit, to that point. For that person, there's no option. But if he doesn't want to, don't do it. But if the person says, oh, deen is not this much, it's just a minor deen, we don't need to practice this much, carry on your way. For that person, he doesn't have to keep the bid, he doesn't need to follow the sunnah, he doesn't need the blessed imamah. For him, it's just a waste of time. But the person who wants Allah's nearness and connection, and he wants Allah's love, for those people is lazim, 100%. Allah Ta'ala says that, seek my nearness at these times. Allah Ta'ala said to his Nabi, that wake up in the night. So, those people who want Allah's nearness, connection, relationship, is lazim they pray this salah. There's a hadith in Tabarani, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, that Allah's tawajjuh, to attain Allah's focus, and to do your islah improvement, for every mu'min is necessary that he implements this salah. Hadith in Tabarani. Just select people? No, normal business, I don't need it. I just want a building, money, wealth, paisa. What does that poor soul know that I'm going to pass and go to Allah, that I need to have love with Allah? He says, is it necessary? Not necessary. Is it fard? Is it compulsory? Do it or not? He's just got this one point his life runs on. But those who require Allah's nearness, who want it, they say that, is this necessary to attain Allah's love? Yes, definitely I'm going to do it. And he adopts that practice in his life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. So this is necessary. It is a must for those people who want to love Allah. For these tips, the rest, if you don't want to practice, it's your choice. But don't cry and complain and make a fuss. Oh, wearing imamah, crying and making a fuss. Don't cry and complain and criticize. Do those actions with love, that there's noor in your heart after that. Yes, be satisfied, content and happy. Doesn't matter how hard it is. Yes, don't cry and complain. What sort of love is this with Allah? Oh, I have to do this as well. Oh, this is a must as well. I have to pray the hajjud as well now. Subhanallah, what sort of love is this with Allah when you're crying and making a fuss? Oh, we have to do this as well. Do that as well. Oh, that as well. Oh, we have to wear imamah. Blessed turban. Oh, this is necessary as well, is it? Subhanallah, what love is this? What daraja is this? And if it's dunya, then even if you don't have to do it, 100% he will do it. Those actions you're not necessary at all in the dunya, even those will run and jump into the earn this, you earn that. Wife and children and that person will be ready, prepared to do everything. You'll take the wife out of the house, children out of the house, no sharia, no law, no principle, everyone's finished to earn money. What a big deception of the hereafter, my friends. And this is how the hereafter is made. And is this how we're making our grave? Is this our day of hashr and resurrection? You are deceiving yourself, human being. You're wasting your time in your life, that individual. Wasting his time. Nothing will you take from this world to the hereafter. My brothers, consider your time in this world precious. Make it valuable. Learn to give sacrifice. Learn to crush the desires. Allah Ta'ala's path, learn the difficulties, learn the sabr, the path in the difficulties, and have sabr with those difficulties in the path to Allah. وَجَاهَدُوا. This is mujahada. This is effort. The difficulties will come. Barriers will come. Challenges will come.
Yes, but Shariat, Hadith, Quran, Allah's orders are on one side. So you have to persevere through the difficulties. This is the definition of deen. To crush your desires, to do away with the dunya, to stop all the attractions, and to run after what Allah Ta'ala said. This is earning the hereafter. Not this, oh, I just want sweet halwa, sit down, and luxuries, and do what you want, whatever you like to do, do whatever you want to leave, leave. This is not the case. In life, adopt a principle. Who is that human being? Who is that human being? He doesn't even know about the last third of the night. He doesn't even know what is tahajjud. It's too hard. So, is this necessary? They'll ask, is it necessary? Is it fard? Is it compulsory? Allah Ta'ala, what is he saying? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is he saying? Every mu'min is essential for every mu'min who wants to do his islah, who wants to rectify himself, who wants to create a relationship with Allah, who wants to have a special, select, special rahmah and mercies, and who wants Allah Ta'ala to be focused on that person. This is hadith. Do you want this? Do you want Allah Ta'ala to glance at you, to be looking at you? If you want this, oh no, please just tell me in his action, just to pray salah so we can go and sleep and do our work. So worried about our work. Open your eyes. When you will be shaken at the time of death, nothing will be visible in this dunya. Remember this. Nothing, these actions then will become priceless. As a Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, and he passed away, and somebody saw him in a dream. And they said, Junaid? He said, yes. He said, do you know who Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, do you know his maqam? Yes. If we think, imagine he was on this maqam, that status, there's a difference between this world and that world, my friends. Big difference. When you see somebody here in the world, forget that you will see him in the same way in the hereafter. The hisab of the hereafter is different, and the hisab in this world is different. Here is Hazrat Sahab in the world, and Shaykhul Hadith in the world is different. The Hazrat Sahab and the Shaykhul Hadith in the hereafter is different. I'll tell you this now. Yes. Don't fall in the trap of what you, the complexion, those you think are pious, say they'll be, may Allah allow this to happen. For that you realize in this world what people are. The signs you will start to see in this world of the human being, the person, what will he be in the hereafter? As the Junaid Baghdadi Ramadari passed away, and when a murid, his student, saw him, and he said, Hazrat, you must have a high maqam, high status, how were you treated? What did Allah Ta'ala say to you? He'll say, all my deeds Allah Ta'ala wrapped up and put to one side. As a Junaid, rahmatullah, is Sayyidu Taifa. In other words, Sayyidu Taifa means the all of the walis, the Sayyid, the head. He said, all my deeds Allah wrapped up and put to one side. Allah said, Junaid, come here. These all your deeds here on one side. Your forgiveness I've implemented. But do you know why? Why I gave forgiveness? Allah says, your forgiveness was just for one reason, that two rakah used to pray in the last third of the night, that was very dear to me, Allah Ta'ala says. Very dear to me. How valuable, precious is this actually? Tell me, Azu Janid, yes? So if you imagine salah, that you get forgiveness through salah. Every action, have hope. Yes, it will give you salvation. Have hope. Have regard. That Allah, please forgive us on this deed. But remember the tips. Remember my tips. So shall I tell you how fantastic this time is? What part did I tell you? The third part of the night. Yes. So for some time you'll have to say, wallahi, I swear that if your niyah and my niyah is correct, our sincere intention that we want to attain Allah's nearness, this is the time. Then after some days, for some days you'll have to set the alarm. After that, you will hear the call in your ears to wake up. If it doesn't, then you come and tell me and complain to me. A jeep whistling will come to you. A call, you'll be shaken. Wake up. Your Rabb is waiting for you. Your Lord is waiting for you. Allah himself makes that servant. Beloved, he knows he's insan, he's tired. Today he had to do a lot of work, that poor soul, he had to go here. Dunya, isn't it? He was distressed and down, upset. Niyah, he was there. He's tahajjud guzar. He's lying down, but his eye is not opening. And he knows he'll be very sad after waking up. He missed it. So then Allah Ta'ala says, and through the angels, that person's woken up. He wakes up. And then the whole complete salah, Allah Ta'ala names him for it. And Allah allows him to fulfill his sleep as well. You can experience this. Make the friendship with Allah. Allah will never give pain and difficulty to a human being. Yes, why don't you pray tahajjud? Oh, I don't pray tahajjud. I have to go to work in the morning. I've got employment. I've got to do this. Noble companions, have you seen their life? That they had a more severe life than us. Difficult. Yes, there can be no example until Qiyamah, Day of Judgment, of difficulty and severity in the life then of the Sahaba. It was the most severe and difficult generation, the generation of the Sahaba. Most difficult era and generation was that of the Sahaba Akram and the Noble Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today, tahajjud, you have hot water, heaters, central heating, electricity, hot cup of tea is put in front of you, and a hot water bottle in your bed. When you wake up, there'll be warmth, and your central heating will be put on the timer prior. This is tahajjud. But Allah Ta'ala hasn't decreased. Allah says, the more ease and luxuries I'll give you, no worries at all. Allah says, I'm the one who gives you luxuries, and I'm the one who'll give you the reward as well at the same time. That those severities and difficulties that the Sahaba Ikram had to go through, pray in the winter, cold water. Once I had to have a bath in Madinatul Munawwara. It was extreme. It was the winter climate. We had no money at that time, and we had no resources at that time. I saw, you know, the hand pump at that time. The hand pump, the pipe. I know, you don't even know the cold in Medina. Is beautiful winter in Medina. Everything is beautiful in Medina. So that enjoyment I also experienced, that when the first time the tap when it was open, then I recited long Durood Sharif and it was cold water, but then after that slowly the hot water came. Suddenly I thought that such a cold water, the noble companions, they did wudu in the desert and then they prayed tahajjud. Today, Allah has given us reward, luxury, comfort. That warm water of your taps, your warm room already before you wake up, the central heating's on, tea is made for you, tea is being brewed, and nice three colors and different materials and designs of jainamaz, prayer mat, yeah, and nice colorful tasbih next to you, and beautiful Quran next to you. But subhanAllah, from on top of the call is coming, even then we don't want to wake up. Even then. Will you wake up, brothers, Sufis? Promise, solid promise. And don't play game, it's hot, it's, well, it's cold, the climate. This cool comes in every climate, every day. What we take a shuka? Oh, time is short. Oh, this is mujahida. This is the mujahida. Okay? Look at this. Okay, now, in this hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us ease. He's given us ease. I'll explain to you that ease. Make it simpler, otherwise it'll be injustice, and if you keep on talking strict and stern. And so tahajjud is such a big mercy and a blessing, such a great hadith that how Allah Ta'ala loves this time. Two rakah sujood, if a person does. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that time if you wake up. Okay, now Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never forced on regards to this last subhanAllah, say subhanAllah. He never forced, always he kept khair and gave ease to the ummah. The Prophet ﷺ never gave hukum, order, but he did repeatedly encourage. There's a difference in ordering and encouraging. So I'm encouraging you, I'm not ordering you. This is encouragement, all of this, encouragement. Yes, just encouraging and advising. If I say fard, end of story, isn't it? But it's not fard, it's not an order. But if we look at and study it, then this is a fard beyond fard. This is encouragement. Encouragement. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, who was he? He was the son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, wasn't he? And what did he, yes, that was their relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was the relationship? Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. He was, yes, the son-in-law. In other words, it was his sister Hafsa, who was Ummahatul Mu'mini. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the brother-in-law. Yes, and he was the son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Look at the maqam, the status. He was a sahabi, alhamdulillah, companion. He was young, and he said the Holy Prophet's habit, that in the morning he would wake up, and he would ask the sahaba ikram, tell me, do you have a dream? And he'd explain the interpretation of that dream. This was also on the sahabi. He said that I used to see, when I'd see that a sahabi would explain his dream, then I felt that also I get a dream, so I can also ask the interpretation of this dream to the Holy Prophet. He said, I also felt this so that I can also speak to my sheikh, just like everyone else is speaking, through an excuse. Because a person who has love here, he's looking for an excuse. He said, I used to look from far. In my heart, I used to think, how will I? And dreams won't come to me, he said. Dreams won't come to me. Because some people, they don't see dreams. Some people keep seeing dreams, they close their eyes, the dreams come and the series starts. So he said that once a dream eventually did come to me. And the dream came, the difficulty was this, that I couldn't dare then after that, that I could go and explain to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is my dream. He said, I was concerned. So I went to my sister. Who? Who was the wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ummahatul Mu'minin, Hazrat Hafsa, radiyallahu anha. He said, I said to my sister, I'm very ashamed, but if only, and she was, he said, I had a big desire that I would tell the Holy Prophet in my dream. So he said, I can't, but I need the interpretation. So I'll explain the dream to you, my sister, and you ask for the interpretation for me. She said, okay, tell me your dream. And he explained the dream. And the essence of the dream was this, conclusion that in the dream I saw that there's a big chain all the way up to the heavens. The angel came, and that rope, that chain, they're saying to me that climb onto this chain, this rope, and keep coming up, keep coming up. And they're calling me up to the heavens. This is the dream. As Hafsa radiallahu anha, she asked the interpretation to the Prophet, Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Abdullah seen this dream. He said, Abdullah seen this dream. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he's a very good man. Look, that subhanAllah, what a great reply. The stamp of approval from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed tongue, that he's a very good man. Look here now. Today in Bolton, this hadith, I am explaining this hadith, the same words, alhamdulillah, that how Allah Ta'ala has created a qawm, a group of people, insan, muhaddithin, who we give them the title Imam Bukhari, Imam Shafi'i, all of these great scholars, great human beings, that every word of the Holy Prophet, they shared it with us, delivered it to us. So, subhanAllah, no normal man could do this. They valued Allah, selected them. Allah selected the human beings to share the words of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Ummah. Every single sunnah until Qiyamah, the sunnah will be shared and delivered to the Ummah. So these words totally, that he's a very good man, beloved man, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but if only tell him that he should also pray the salah during the night, that if it was, it'd be good if he prayed the salah in the night. So she then said the interpretation, that this is the meaning, that you are a good man, subhanAllah. But the second part, Rasul said, it'd be good if he prayed the salah in the night. He stood, he said, I swear by Allah, after today, Abdullah's salatul tahajjud will never go to miss. Never go to miss. This was encouragement of the Prophet ﷺ. So the noble companions all used to pray tahajjud. This was through the encouragement. It wasn't that it was fard, you must do it. Yes, but for every Sufi is fard this salah. He cannot arrive to Allah without this salah. You understand what I'm saying? So, alongside this, there's also a little bit of flexibility, you could say. Flexibility. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that after Isha, if a person makes a niyyah after Isha, makes intention and prays nawafil, extra prayer, then that also can be, he will get the reward of tahajjud and qiyamul layl, that person. So it's become easy, my friends. Become easy, isn't it? And it's not just for the Sufis. This is the difference. Look at the difference here. This for, not for those people who are making effort to attain Allah's nearness. Yes, who've said that we want to find Allah, we want to get close to Allah, we want Allah's love. This is not for those people, because you are those people who morning and evening do dhikr of Allah and are concerned continuously about Allah's love. This is not for those people. These are for those people who are weak or new to the deen and new passion and haven't got the that passion proper and they think it's too hard. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave flexibility that if after Isha, if after the night prayer, you pray salah extra with the niyyah for qiyamul layl or tahajjud, then you attain that. You will attain that. Especially those women folk who do a lot of housework and they have little kids. For them, there's this flexibility. But there's also a point here. Remember, definitely there's a point here. Especially for the Sufis, you people, you colleagues who are trying to find Allah for the dhakreen. Listen here. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this, that qiyamul layl and tahajjud thawab, you can attain it, you will get it. But that time, it's not that time that Allah's Nabi said, it's not that call, it's not that announcement. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not those calls, announcements in the third part of the night, Allah Ta'ala calls out, is there a servant? Is there any man? Here is stated that you will get the thawab of tahajjud to the ummah. You've got the tahajjud thawab if you pray after the night prayer. But you won't get that connection with Allah. Because he wants that. He doesn't just want thawab. He's saying, I want to do this for Allah, this action. I'm looking for Allah's love, for Allah's nearness with the relationship with Allah. I'm not looking for thawab, tahajjud. So for him, he will have to get up at that time. The last third of the night. There's flexibility for those who are sick, who are weak. Or if they're in that condition, they're on a journey, or they're forced to do early. So after Isha, what's the tariqah of that? Listen to the method. there's an easy method that my Shaykh has prescribed, I will share with you, because the walis of Allah give beautiful ease for those people who are weak, who are distressed, but they don't want to waste the tahajjud reward for them. I'll present to you a solution. What was I saying? Yes. Now it's coming out of my mind. Ah, yes. One tariqah method. Mahazir Sahib, what did he say? He made it even easier. He said that when your eyes open, for example, at the Tahajjud time, your eyes open, and you're extremely tired. Sufi shouldn't be in this position. It's not tiredness, it's actually laziness. Yes, for those who want to find Allah, it's laziness. So those people who are weak or ill, etc., when your eyes open and then sit on the bed. Sit on that and 10 times say astaghfar, 10 times recite durood sharif, and 10 times subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, recite that. After that you go to sleep, then that person will get the thawab of tahajjud. Yes, so don't you start doing this, that you have to get up in the third part of the night. Remember this, you have a higher status, higher level. So these sorts of prescriptions, so these are the times and the moments. But tahajjud, person who is regular in tahajjud, should be for every mu'min, every servant. It's easy. You can pray after Isha. You say, oh, this is for the walis of Allah. This is not the case. Rather, a person becomes a wali Allah by doing this. If they didn't, they wouldn't be walis of Allah. They wouldn't have a connection with Allah. So, tahajjud time, tahajjud prayer is very important. Very important. Today, nowadays, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of time. Yes? Nowadays, the question doesn't arise that we're lazy, we leave tahajjud. So, no way or form is there a time that a person should be leaving tahajjud. It's a big loss, especially for those who have love for Allah. And a person saw a wali Allah in a dream, and Allah Ta'ala showed in the kashf for him, very beautiful, haseen woman, probably a hur. So this wali Allah saw, and he asked the question, the wali Allah, who have you been created for? So beautiful creation of Allah. Who have you been created for? Who are you for? Wali Allah asked, and the hur said, for that insan who wakes up and prays the tahajjud in the night. Imam Ghazali, alhamdulillah, said that he is not a false ashik. The sign, the distinguishing factor between the genuine and the false, that person's Allah who does dhakir, he says dhakir, he's a Naqshbandi, he says the chishti, he's a qadri, he does dhikr, this is all an empty box, he's false. The honest, genuine love is that person who the Rabb is calling him and he responds. Have you ever seen this? That in the dunya and the world, that a person has love for a woman, a lot of love, and she says that you must come this way, come to this road, come to this door, and he doesn't arrive. And this is against the principle of love. I've never heard that a man has attraction for a woman and she calls, come in the evening, we'll drink tea, and he doesn't arrive there. I think he will sacrifice everything around him, and whoever he shouldn't leave, he'll leave to get there. This is just temporary love of the world. But that ashik who loves Allah, who claims that he loves Allah, does dhikr and adhkar, and he does sujood and salah, and he does talawat and recitation of the Quran, he considers he's an ashik, a lover of Allah. So when Allah is saying, I'm calling you, you're not coming, where are you? At that time Allah says, he's a liar, he's not my ashik. He's not a true lover. Yes, he's temporary, he's false, he's lying in the dunya. If he was my ashik, then I've announced that in the third part of the night I come and I meet my beloved servants, and he's lying down sleeping. He's a liar, he's false. Imam Ghazali has written on this point as well, that the true lover and the false person, the distinguishing factor is that the true lover, that he will toss and turn all night long, toss and turn. He doesn't fall asleep. He doesn't feel sleepy. He's looking, is this time now? He looks this way, he looks that way. This is the hal of the ashik. This is the time, my mahbub, Allah has given to me. This time now. Oh, is it time now? This time now. And he'll switch the phone off. Why? I don't want to be disturbed. I want to hear this person's phone call. Because Allah is going to call me. I need to respond to that. So Allah, if we know that today Allah 3 a.m. is going to come and call to me loudly, and I carry on sleeping, and after that Allah will ask me that, what do you need, my servant? Subhanallah, question and answer. And the more the person's daraja of qurb is increased with Allah. Remember this point. That even in tahajjud you'll get maqam. The more your qurb and nearness to Allah. Remember, your salah will be good. Remember, because even tahajjud, where will that introduce you? It will go and meet with salah. That tahajjud. Even tahajjud, the time when you pray salah. Even in tahajjud, when you meet Allah, when will that be fulfilled? Through the salah of tahajjud. Even there's salah in tahajjud time. Yes? So the pious elders have stated, you know, some pious elders, that three hearts meet at that time. Three hearts meet at that time. What is one? Three hearts are present. That, what is the heart of the night? It is tahajjud time. And what is the heart of the human being? It is his qalb. And what is the heart of the Quran? Yasin. So these three hearts meet at that time. So if you are reciting Surah Yasin in tahajjud, and it's the time of tahajjud, then three hearts meet at that time. When the three hearts meet, then Allah's rahmah and mercy, tawajjuh, focus comes towards that person. Yes, and that's the husn, the beauty of that night. So my brothers, tahajjud, there is a very valuable, precious time of the night. In those moments, I've explained that whatever status you attain, that whether it's on the bed, whether it's just the dua on its own, whether you ask from Allah, don't waste that opportunity. Rather, increase it, develop it, strengthen it. Rather, one pious elder also stated this. Hazrat Arfi Sahib Rahmatullah, he used to say that do this much. Every wali Allah had his own effect and style, and his style was very good. Yeah, Abu Hazrat Sahib said this, that I said to you already, and he said that do this much at least, that sit on the bedside. Hazrat Arfi Sahib Rahmatullah, he said that sit on the bedside, and after sitting on the bedside, do this dua, that Allah, I'm tired, I can't get up. I'm trying, I feel like it to get up, but you Allah, accept my dua, and to me, give me tawfiq that I get up. I can't get up. It is the time to hajjud. Allah, please forgive me. And then say that and go to sleep. Then you will get the thawab of tahajjud. He has it. Arfi Sahib Rahmatullah, he stated this. So there are many beautiful points and advices, but the real question is, how much desperate are you in your heart? Do you just want to be the one sitting, lying down on the bed, or you want to sit on the bedside, or do you want to get off and do dua? What is your desire and passion? The more passion you have when you go towards Allah, the more your relationship with Allah will be strengthened. So today's topic was what? Yes, this is a class, isn't it? We're in a classroom, like discussion. So shall I repeat today's lesson? Because my words, you know, sometimes go off the point, so I don't want the point to leave the mind, because tahajjud has come and 3-4 masail have come. All I explained to you. The real topic that I wanted to give to you, the subject was the relationship with Allah, to develop the relationship with Allah. This was my main topic today. That the servant, the human being, his objective in life is to develop the relationship with Allah. And that's why we're on planet Earth, okay? To develop the relationship with Allah, Allah has given us the best ibadah, worship. What is that? Salah, namaz. Very good. Salah, yes. This was it, isn't it? That through salah, you develop relationship with Allah. And to make your salah get to the high level, what amal has Allah given to us? Dhikrullah. To develop your salah. Do you understand that? Yes. And dhikr of Allah is not the objective for a human being, rather it is the assistance, the objective, the reason to do dhikr of Allah is so that we correct and improve our salah. That namazi who, that person who prays salah without dhikr will never enable his salah to be developed to the level that Allah Ta'ala desires. So it's a definite precondition that do dhikr to improve your salah. Do dhikr to improve your salah. And the third point that I explained today was that the relationship with Allah, the nearness to Allah, the strong bond with Allah, to develop that, to get Allah's glance, to get Allah's attention, focus, is the time that Allah has allotted for that. Remember these three things, embed them into your mind. And what's the most precious time that generates and that bond with Allah? What is that? The third part of the night, the last third of the night. Then I explain the detail. If you want to hear, it will come on the cassette. Listen to it again on the CD. Listen to the bayan, and then all these points will be strengthened in your mind. May Allah Ta'ala give to us all the tawfiq to implement this. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين شفيع المذنبين طه ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وزلمنا وأصلنا وجدنا وخطونا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا داعي الوليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ربهم هما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله وأصحابه أزواجه ذرياته أهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.